There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Another day, another fee cut. We are looking now at how reductions in municipality fees for hotels and restaurants are playing into the larger Dubai economy picture. We're joined now by Trevor McFarlane, founder and chief executive of Emir. Trevor, good morning.
Good morning, Brandy. It's great to be here as always.
You are becoming our go-to man on fee cuts, and we have had enough to keep you busy for the last week or so.
Well, you know I would do anything to come in and see you guys.
We like to think that's what it is. But this is the third time now in the last fortnight that we've spoken to you about changes to the cost of doing business and the cost of living here in Dubai. How would you describe the big picture at the moment?
Look, I think it's all positive. It's moving in the right direction. I think, generally speaking, businesses are very open and receptive to what has happened, particularly with the latest fees regarding impacting more tourism and hospitality, etc. I think what is really interesting, and I think Malcolm asked this question last week to me, in terms of how free the market is, particularly, say, with the private tuition fees and those being frozen. If the government is coming in and freezing those fees, the question would be, how free is the overall market? And it was interesting, Mohammed, who works with me, our content, digital content editor, posted the interview from Business Breakfast on our social media. And one of the comments we got was somebody complaining about trying to control the market, which I think is very interesting. And what I found, and this is going to be perhaps sound a little bit strange coming from me, given that I run a network of 100 plus CEOs, right? So in a way, I represent businesses. But what I found is businesses moan no matter what. They moan when times are good, and now they're moaning. Either side of this debate, you're going to have businesses complaining, which I think is fascinating. And what I would say is, yes, times have been tough over the last couple of years in Dubai. Depending on what sector you have to get into, the devil is in the detail exactly, but particularly for B2C, let's put it that way. But what I would say is, if you hadn't made your business resilient when you saw the oil prices fall in mid-2014, the writing is on the wall. You guys talk about it every morning on this show, and anybody interested in business in the UAE listens to this show. The writing was on the wall mid-2014, if the oil prices start to fall and we start to get a sense, okay, that the language shifts to lower for longer, and businesses that didn't make their own operations resilient, in many ways, I think, have set themselves up for this position what they're in now.
Just define resilience for me in that sense. Do you mean perhaps an ability to survive on lower income and lower prices by that?
Exactly. Streamline your business to adapt to the current environment. Look at your pricing strategy, look at your margins, basic business operations. And again, this appears strange coming from me, given that I represent so many companies. But somebody has to win in these markets, right? Somebody has to win in the current environment. Even though, yes, the economy has been soft, there are businesses that are still doing well.
Talk to me then about one of our headlines this morning, which is that GEMS, the school company, is reportedly considering delaying its IPO in amongst the school freezes. This is a Bloomberg story. I've been speaking to sources close to the school operator, yada yada, who say they're planning to delay their IPO after the unexpected school freeze.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me, right? If you're planning an IPO and this is something that has come up, you know, at relatively short notice, of course you would have to factor into that whole plan. GEMS as an operation, as a school, as a business, is one of the biggest education providers in the world. The fact that it's going for an IPO, I think it can survive the fact that there's a freeze on schools over, you know, at least the next year or so. Also, you take into account that school fees, and it's important to stress here, I'm not a parent, so I'm not a disgruntled parent. And I think that's what a lot of people start to accuse you of. But I don't have children, but just purely looking at it from the perspective of tuition fees, you know, Dubai in the UAE is one of the highest in the world after Hong Kong, according to HSBC. And then it would be fair to ask as well in terms of the actual educational output based on those high fees. So I think I have a funny sneaking suspicion that GEMS as an operation is a very successful business and it will do perfectly fine. Perhaps they have to delay their IPO, but in the grand scheme of things, I have a feeling that GEMS is going to survive this tuition freeze. And you have to take into account that there were plenty of schools already, reportedly plenty of schools, actually freezing or reducing fees. Now, the message they gave was that they wanted to attract the best students. If you were a cynic, perhaps you would say it was because the market was soft and supply and demand is starting to come into more equilibrium for the schools, which is what we want in Dubai.
Let's look at the tourism picture, because that is the big change we're talking about this morning. This cut in the municipality fees for hotels, for restaurants, 10% to 7%. What kind of difference is that 3% going to make?
Look, it's a positive step. You know, I was listening to your previous interviewee. And again, it's interesting. It comes back to that first point that I alluded to in terms of over this overall debate, with the government clearly trying to make things easier for business and make it more competitive in Dubai. That's clearly a very welcome step. And you and I have spoken to, it's been quite interesting. Depending on what side and how it impacts their own vested interests determines to the extent to which they moan about this subject.
That's just after getting your bills, I expect.
Perhaps. But, you know, for example, your last interviewee, who was very articulate and very interesting to listen to, was stating about how he wants government support in specific areas and gave examples about having to pay $15,000, I believe it was, to show the football rights. As a business, it's your decision whether you want to show the World Cup for $15,000, and you would make a calculation and a forecast based on how much revenue you're going to get by showing these, by showing the World Cup. Again, these are business decisions that you have to operate in a competitive market.
Now, listen, we've talked about some of these big changes: municipality tax on hospitality cut from 10% to 7%, school fee freezes, potential 100% ownership of companies, 10-year visas, etc., etc. Several bureaucratic steps being eradicated as well. But the one thing that sort of really concerns a lot of my friends with their own companies, they say it's all very well having your own business and doing well and winning business, but if you don't get paid, your history, cash flow is going to be the hardest part of survival for many companies at the moment. How do you think that can be solved? Is it down to the companies themselves? Is it down to government help in making companies pay their bills on time? How does it work?
Yeah, so DSO's day sales outstanding ratios tends to be very high within the broader region. The UAE, your DSO ratios would tend to be lower, you know, compared to a country or a market like Saudi Arabia. Typically, DSOs are high in Saudi and in Egypt. Dubai, it's not as big an issue. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but it's not as big an issue. In Abu Dhabi, it tends to be slightly higher. So I think any steps that reduce your DSO ratios is a good thing. But it's difficult for the government to come in and actually regulate that, depending on whether it is the government making the payments.
Well, that's the big thing, issue, isn't it?
If it's the government making the payments, of course, you need to streamline the process as much as possible. And it's up for companies to make sure that they have their paperwork in order as well when they're actually submitting invoices, etc., which tends to be one of the reasons, I'm not saying the only reason, but one of the reasons why payments can be delayed.
One last question from me, Trevor. While we are talking about the government side of things, the other side of these fee freezes, these tax cuts, call them whatever you want, is that we're talking about government revenue here. I mean, one of the reasons, you know, that VAT was brought in was to boost non-oil revenue. It's the reason the IMF was pushing the whole region to do it. And yet at the same time, we have Dubai foregoing government revenue. What does that mean for the balance sheet?
Yeah, look, I'd still imagine that they're going to be up with the introduction of VAT, but it shows, right? We're, as a species, we're complex human beings, and you're trying to organise complex human beings within a complex society, and sometimes the government is faced with two choices, neither of which are great choices. And sometimes you have to choose the one that is going to do the least amount of, or have the least amount of an impact. So I'm sure the government ideally would have wanted to be able to introduce VAT and not have to reduce other revenue diversification efforts, which we've seen, but they've responded to the market being soft and responded to the calls from the companies to make it easier for them to do business here. Now, no matter what, I think sometimes it can be difficult to please business and please business leaders. No matter what happens, when times are good, they complain. When times are soft, they complain. And it's trying to find a balance where everybody moves forward in a way that is profitable as much as possible.
But you have some very happy consumers. Will life start to feel a bit cheaper?
I think the introduction of VAT at the start of the year is really the thing that hit consumption. You know, in our network, one of the car companies was telling me that in the first 2 months of the year, the amount of walk-ins into their showrooms was down around 34% relative to the first 2 months of last year. One of the hotel companies in our network was telling us that the amount of visits to their website looking at menus was up 40%, but the amount of people going in and spending money in the restaurants was down. And what that tells me is people are looking before they go out. They're looking at menus. They're looking at hotels and saying, well, that's pretty expensive, actually. I'm going to look for more of a casual option. And I think it's a difficult environment for F&B and hotels because the trend for consumers is shifting towards more casual dining, not necessarily walking through this beautiful, ostentatious five-star experience, but actually getting out into a casual environment, perhaps having, you know, libations and food outside. And there's more and more options for that. And the regulatory environment is actually shifting to make that easier for outlets that don't necessarily have to be in a hotel.
Trevor McFarlane, founder and chief executive of Amir, thanks for your insights this morning.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.